national security tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
You can hear Morning Edition every weekday from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on Central Coast Public Radio Station, KUSP, your NPR member station. Grey Wolf Computer Systems has provided a grant in support of this program. Grey Wolf Computer Systems offers custom computer systems and personalized service for repairs, upgrades, and networks in the East Cliff Village Shopping Center in Santa Cruz. It is January 20th, 2003, 6:30. Time for Geek Speak. Welcome to Geek Speak, bridging the gap between geeks and humanity every week here on KUSB. I'm your host, Lyle Troxell. Please keep in mind the views expressed during this half hour are not necessarily those of KUSB. Tonight, we'll be talking with Jasper Lawrence about the business of web development. During the second half of the show, I welcome you to join the conversation. The numbers are 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. This program is supported by a grant from Seagate Technology. Seagate is a worldwide supplier of disk drives for PCs and servers and innovations for products like the Microsoft Xbox and digital video recorders and digital jukeboxes. Information is at Seagate.com. Web development in the last 7 or 8 years since its inception has ranged in its effect on the world. And lately, websites are pretty much everything in a lot of ways, or at least that's what it seems like from a geek's perspective. And tonight on Geek Speak, we have Jasper Lawrence. He's the owner and operator and founder and such of Words and Images, a local to Santa Cruz web development agency. And we're going to talk a little bit about the history of how the business has been going. And we're going to be welcoming your calls during the second half. Again, you can take down the phone numbers if you'd like to join us. 476-2800 or toll free at 1-800-655-5877. And we are welcoming Jasper. And also we are welcoming John and Sean to the program. Welcome, geeks.
Good evening. Hello.
And welcome, hi, Jasper Lawrence, to Geek Speak. So, when was Words and Images founded?
There's no easy answer to that question, but as far as I'm concerned, my participation in this business started about 12 years ago, right around 1990.
1990, is that's when you started doing web development?
Well, that's when I started doing print design and production. And as the business evolved and my role evolved and I became more bored with the print side of the business, I looked again into multimedia and then into web development.
Okay. And so Words and Images slowly became a company that focuses primarily on website development. Maybe not. I know, it's hard to put yourself in a box, isn't it?
Because as soon as I put myself in the box, someone's going to throw it on the garbage, out of the garbage dump. Primarily, we do web development and design simply because that's where the remainder of the business is. One of the unexpected or unintended consequences of the internet has been the almost wholesale destruction of the print industry.
Yeah.
Big companies like Sun and Cisco and everyone else, they don't want to pay for 5,000 four-color brochures. They're going to sit in a warehouse, most of which are going to be mulched because they've been rendered obsolete by the progress of technology. So even now when we do so-called print collateral, it ends up as a PDF on a website.
Right. And it's only print in the fashion that the end user will actually print
it. Right. They'll download it and print it out.
And, of course, you're restricted by all the normal restrictions of that kind of document.
Right.
All right. So let's talk about the website aspect of it. That's definitely more in line with the GeekSpeak program. When it started out with websites being more and more necessary, and it's kind of this rampage to get a site up and start selling online and this buzz that created this whole balloon pop of .coms, it became a pretty good business for you, I'm assuming.
It was an epic business. You'd walk into a client and they would they'd often stop you 3 or 4 slides into your presentation, ask you how soon you could finish their project, and basically throw as much money at you as you asked for. It was literally like that.
Ah, the good old days.
It was absolutely wonderful.
Was it that there was no competition?
It was that there was so much money in the valley chasing this this illusion of this this great new world, that everyone, the only thing anyone cared about was how soon you could get to market, and often that meant getting to market before you even had a product. So the marketing lot of the activities we were involved in were done in advance of having someone to buy the product, having a product to sell to them, et cetera, et cetera.
Or having a concept of how much it'd be sold for.
Right.
In that aspect. I've, you know, worked in the industry as well for 7 years or so, and it's true. I mean, there was just points where I was put on a project, and it was pretty clear that there was no niche for the... I mean, there was no idea of how money was going to come in.
Right.
But you get it out there, and you get people to look at it, and that's all you need to do.
That's right.
To at least get paid. So what was the, you know, the peak volume of employees, for example, that you had?
At our peak, we had 32 employees, and we were doing about $500,000 in business a month.
That's a healthy business.
It was a it wasn't a healthy business. It was an illusion. It was, I'll leave it to the economists and the historians to dissect it, but obviously it wasn't really a business. It was more like a happening. And we were all getting paid for it, but that was about it.
And you're all, I mean, I'm assuming your employees were happy.
You'd have to ask them that. I think at different points, the majority of them were happy, yeah.
Okay. So then, slowly, clients started not being so readily available.
It wasn't so slowly. It was towards the end of 2000, people started saying, things might be slowing down in the valley. There was no sign of it with us. And then at the end of 2000, literally within a week, two-thirds of our business walked out the door.
How do you mean walked out the door? Clients you'd already set up just canceled the projects?
Yeah, or said, you know, at the end of January, which is, you know, 38 days from now, we're not going to be your client anymore. We just don't have the budget. And a lot of it was across the board. It was companies like Lucent who were just, they decided to stop spending money. And it was startups who realized they weren't going to be able to go to an IPO, raise all the money they needed to keep on spending money at the levels they'd committed to.
So they slowed down.
They just stopped.
Now, I wonder, I mean, these theoretically, some good ideas existed at the time,
mm-hmm.
and maybe didn't even go to fruition because the industry kind of stopped
quickly.
Do you think that some of those ideas are still growing at just a slower pace and in a more traditional sense of business growth?
I'm convinced of it, and maybe I'm some flavor of fool, but I actually believe that the Internet is going to transform the world. There are too many things that you and I and everyone here, I'm sure, can do so much more easily and more efficiently on the Internet when it comes to buying information of any kind or accessing information or buying a lot of things that are homogenous that we know in advance what they're going to look like CDs and computer systems and things you don't need to try on or touch or smell or feel in order to evaluate, then the Internet is by far the best way to access that kind of stuff.
I don't even go to bookstores anymore.
I find
everything I want online.
Now, you still go to bookstores.
You go to used bookstores.
Only when it's convenient. Good. If I'm driving by one and we have time, sure, I like to stop and see what they have. But, God, you know, if I see a book at a store, it's better off just not buying it. Go home and I can always find it on eBay or some bookstore cheaper.
That's right.
It's depressing in
some
ways.
Often signed, you know.
Well, or is it? I mean, there are some... I mean, buying a mortgage, buying money... I can't think of anything more depressing than going to see a mortgage broker. No offense to you out there who do that, but, you know, I mean, I'd much rather fill out a form online and hit and click the submit button.
And just have the math speak for itself. Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
And if the current economic model, the way we do business, is obsolete, you know, it was made obsolete by web business, then that's just the way it's going to be in the future because people aren't going to go, wow, that's really great. Oh, but look at the poor brick and mortars. They're falling apart. We shouldn't go on the web because it's hurting other businesses. People will go where it's easiest.
Right.
And it's not really doing away with jobs. Someone's got to put that information online. Someone has to track it. I mean, it's just shifting the economy in a new direction.
Start working for UPS or shipping companies.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely changing the face of the world. I mean, it already has, and it's still going. So are you saying that for words and images, when you started not getting those clients and you had this large, you know, pool of employees, like 33 people, small enough to know everybody, but big enough to have quite a bit of money flowing. What happened?
Well, let's see. I think first off, I freaked out. And then I thought, well, you know, we've been through this before. In 97 and 98, there was that economic troubles in Southeast Asia, and the economy in the valley just stopped for 3 months. I mean, I remember sales really went into a tailspin. I thought, well, you know, everyone's saying that this is probably going to be fairly short-lived, like 9 months, so I'm going to do what I've always done in these situations. I'm going to try and sell my way out of it because, you know, I've never done wholesale layoffs before. So I tried that for a while, and it was it was spectacularly unsuccessful. So after a while, I accepted the fact that I was going to have to do layoffs and started doing them.
What did you do prior to layoffs?
I tried to sell my way out of it. I redoubled my efforts to get new business. Yeah.
But the business just wasn't there.
It really wasn't.
Okay. And this is it's about when the time it was clear that companies were laying off en masse, and it could have been a lot longer. So you laid off, assuming friends.
Oh yeah, great friends. It was absolutely the hardest experience I've ever had.
Yeah. Sorry to bring that up so publicly. But you didn't go out of business. You're able to keep going, and you're still going.
So far.
So, okay. Is it still kind of a question all the time? Is it difficult?
Oh, well, the thing is with an agency and a small business is you have to understand I didn't go into business to make money. I started out as a freelancer to avoid a commute. And then I started hiring people because I was...
Overloaded.
Well, partly I was overloaded and partly I was lonely. I was working alone in my garage and had been for 2 or 3 years. And you know what? There was no damn way I was going to go and get a job. So I thought, nah, I'll hire someone.
Yeah.
Sean and I both did that kind of work-at-home thing. And, yeah, it gets lonely.
Yeah, it sure does.
Freelance writing for a while, and it was very lonely.
So your first employee, if you will, was more of just companionship and friendship.
Totally.
Oh, wow. All right. Dot-com started, I mean, companies started going under, and it was harder to get clientele and everything, but you were able to still get clients. How do you do that? I mean, not without, you know, divulging secrets.
Oh, well, there aren't any secrets to it. It's there are two basic ways, I think, to go and get new clients.
You know what? Let me stop. Go back to those two basic ways, but I want to cover first that specifically, I mean, in general, what you do is you develop websites and marketing strategic plans for companies.
That's basically it, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're a website development firm.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go on. You're two.
So sales consists of, you can either approach strangers, which consists of finding a list of people who may or may not be in a position to purchase your product or service, and you call them. That's cold calling, relentless, soul-destroying, numbing, crushing activity that it is. And I've done my fair share of that. It takes a little while to warm up to it, but it's not that productive. And the other way is to network, which is basically to go out, meet people, or remind those people who already know you of your existence and suggest gently that maybe they might have some work for you. That's basically it.
Now, which way works better for you?
Lately, neither.
Really?
the second version does.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you've been around for quite a while, and you must have a pretty good portfolio of sites. Does that help?
Of course it does, yeah. I mean, people want to, when you walk into any new business presentation, assuming the client isn't familiar with you and what you do, what they want to see is something exactly like what they want or what they are. I remember when I first went to break into high-tech market, which is where most of the money was and is, it was very, very hard getting that first technology client because everyone wanted to see, you know, that's nice, but, you know, what have you done as far as semiconductors or servers?
Looking at your website, I was surprised to see HP. I mean, I remember that site very well, that you had done that. And
we didn't do HP.com. No, we've done sections of HP.com, and we've done intranets.
Okay.
Interior portals. So.
God, see the page I saw up there, I'd seen before. I remember that one.
Well, you were at the press, so some of it was press resources.
Could be, yeah. And Indian motorcycles.
We did a portion of that.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Were you in this train of thought?
No. Well, if I was, I've lost it.
Well, let's hope that we'll get it back in a few minutes. You are listening to Geek Speak. You're listening to Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxel. In the air room with me is Jasper Lawrence of Words and Images, and also Geeks John and Sean. We are talking about web development firms, specifically Words and Images' history in the web realm, but as it relates to the entire industry and is there an industry? That's kind of the discussion at bay right now. We are opening up the phones now. The phone numbers are 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. Deanna Zachary hosts a conversation about teens' everyday experience with race in commemoration of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. airs tomorrow at 6:30 here on Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP. I would welcome you to call in regarding web development company business, building out your own site, if you had problems, issues, concerns, thoughts, how you go about those kind of questions. We'll be welcome to field those. And also questions about Macs, PCs, and the like will help you out if you'd like to call in. This is Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxell. In the air room are geeks John and Sean. And we have Jasper Lawrence from Words and Images. So, Jasper, are you, even though it's been a difficult route, are you glad you're in the web development industry?
Yeah, I am. It's never boring. It's certainly never dull. It evolves very quickly. Technology is constantly evolving. The tools we use are constantly evolving. The type of business we do, I mean, when we started out, we were doing what's called brochureware, which is essentially a flat informational site. And now we're doing a lot of dynamic sites that are driven, that extract content from databases using middleware to dynamically generate pages based on user requests.
What's middleware?
Middleware is a scripting language that passes requests from a web page, say when you click on a button, to a database, processes the data that's returned by the database, often formats it in a particular way, or may carry out what they call business logic, basically the execution of equations on that data, and then spits out a web page that you view in your browser.
Would that be like stuff written in PHP?
Yeah, PHP, ASP. I'm allowed to mention Microsoft Project.
Oh, sure.
ASP, PHP, Cold Fusion.
Those are all server-side processing systems to allow application development via website communication.
Right.
And we know we have got a call already, so we might as well do that, I would assume. Hal from Santa Cruz, welcome.
Hi. My question is whether any of you think there might someday be tools available for developing websites that are reasonably simple and user-friendly and don't require an enormous amount of effort to learn how to create a website, something that might be a little bit like, let's say as simple or relatively simple to use as the typical word processing or maybe spreadsheet programs.
Well, they've existed for about 5 or 6 years.
Well, I've tried the ones that have the reputation as being friendly. And
front page and such?
Yeah.
And what was your experience?
It was far more complicated than I'd been led to believe.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is kind of a complicated process. One way to get away from the complication is to go ahead to go to a developer that allows you, that designs it for you, and then you just provide the content with some kind of tool to allow easy entry. But there's a skill involved. Jasper, do you want to address this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably quite easy. I mean, my experience with front page has been uniformly negative. It seems to create as many problems as it solves. So if that's the tool you selected, maybe that's your issue.
I tried that, and I tried NetObjects.
Oh, yeah, NetObjects the same way. We actually, when we started out doing web development, we went through a progression. We started with NetObjects, then we went with Go Live, and then we finally ended up with the Macromedia product.
Dreamweaver.
Dreamweaver. Yeah. And we started out with 1.0 NetObjects, so we started out with them when they first came into being. We ended up going with text-based editors just because it gives you more control, but I've got to believe that there are some simple, perhaps shareware products out there now that would allow you to...
Hal, do you use Windows? Do you use Word?
Oh, yeah. I've been...
That has a save as HTML.
I'm sorry?
That has a save as HTML.
Sure, and I've done that, and I've actually put stuff on a website that was created under my direction by someone who professionally creates websites.
Right.
But and he was out of the country, and I needed to get something up there, so... You know, I'm not totally locked out, but to do much more than sort of go in and kind of use a page you already put up as a template and just substitute language.
Well, that pages can be written that way, definitely. I would suggest that one issue that you're probably running into is that the standard of HTML. Is very flexible. It has a lot of options and a lot of availability. And so if all of that is surfaced to you as an end user, it becomes a situation where it's difficult to make it work, make it look good, and it takes skill to do that. If, on the other hand, you want to be limited to what you can do by having somebody else build something and then just being able to modify some part of it, then it becomes simpler to use, but therefore less artistic and less less style, if you will.
Exactly.
Jasper, you agree with
that?
Yeah,
and it's like any tool. The more time you spend with it, and the easier it's going to become. And as a casual user or an occasional user, you're always going to suffer from that lack of experience.
Well, conceptually, for example, NetObjects was appealing because you know, you could just grab these things and then sort of try to use them. I guess, if I remember, it's been a while, but they were called templates.
Right.
And I guess what I'm asking is, have those things gotten simpler to use, or...
No.
No.
I would say they've gotten more complex.
Yeah, I'd agree.
That was my impression from my more recent interactions with this guy who has served as the webmaster for me for a couple of sites.
You know, I find that website development is kind of like building a structure. And if you think of it as like building a building, you need expertise.
That's
and
right.
There's a lot of layers to a good website, especially if you want different features.
Well, my training is in architecture. So.
Well, there you go. So, I mean, the same extent of, well, I can draw what a house should look like. Can't I be an architect? And if you gave me a tool to render a simple, you know, structure and foundation and four walls with a roof of some kind that came out of a box, would that be real architecture, or would that be... I wouldn't help, you know. That's the line. Of course, you're never really building anything that could fall and kill people, so therefore, it's a lot safer in the web.
But we get locked into conventions, and you know, I saw the original drawings Thomas Jefferson did for some of the structures at the University of Virginia. They're entirely different from the drawings that we do today to build buildings. Comparatively, incredibly simple, but also looking at things in a very different way, and somehow the masons and carpenters and everybody were able to use those to create these elegant structures. And I just wonder if there aren't efforts to do that out there for websites.
I think the industry of creating websites where you go to and talk to someone and say, I want these kind of things, that's that conversation of what it should look like. And then the actual structure behind it, if you use a simple tool, you're not going to get exactly what you want. And if you don't, you won't be able to do it without the skills involved.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Hal.
Sure, thank you.
Great foray into architecture. I don't think we've done that here on GeekSpeak. We have another call right away from Chad in Santa Cruz. Welcome, Chad, to GeekSpeak.
Thanks a lot.
What's your question?
Well, Jasper, I understand that sometimes you're in the position of having to do work wherever it comes, but I'm hearing a lot about Microsoft's .NET initiative, and I don't know much about it, and it's a little. Microsoft is assuring us that it's going to make everything easier, and you just carry your passport around with you or something. And so I don't know. I was just curious to hear. I'll take my question off the air, but just curious to hear more about this. I don't know if I need to be reassured or if I can run away. So
I think this. What the Microsoft.NET initiative is primarily going to make easier is going to be the extraction of cash from people's wallets and its insertion in the Microsoft bank account. I've read articles lately that say .NET's failing and Microsoft is going to rebrand and reconsider the whole exercise. And truthfully, I haven't paid a great deal of attention to it, but it seemed to me in part a reaction to Java, and an attempt to undermine it and replace it, and part marketing exercise on the by Microsoft and an attempt to package up a bunch of technologies they'd been carrying around for a long time, make them fresh and more relevant for the Internet, and push them back out there. As to whether it'll make our lives easier, I remain skeptical.
I would echo a lot of those points. Chad, thanks for the suggestion about .NET and offering more information. I think we'll do a show in the near future about that subject.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Thanks for the call.
Yep, bye.
And from Aptos, we have Dave. Hello, Dave. Welcome to GeekSpeak.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I know that Words and Images does a lot of marketing work, and I know...
Are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
You having trouble hearing me?
Yeah, it's just a little echoey. Go on. A lot of marketing?
Well, and I know the technology has changed the way marketing is done, and I was just wondering if you could address that a little bit. There's so much noise right now in terms of everybody getting their stuff out that it can be kind of hard for the consumer to sift through it. So I was just wondering, you know, with all the technology we have available to us right now, how, you know, how that's changed.
Like how a company gets its idea out?
Yeah, and what's proven effective in terms of some of the technology that that the Internet offers?
Right. Well, thanks for that question, Dave.
You're welcome.
One of the great promises of the Internet, as far as marketers is concerned, is the idea that you can deliver personalized content. What that means in practical terms can be a web page that contains content specific to you, either based on your buying habits in the past. So what e-commerce sites like Amazon will do is they'll track your buying history over time, and on subsequent visits after you've built up a small pattern, will present products to you or genres of music or books or whatever that their expert system, the logic they've built into their website, believe that you'll be more likely to buy and thereby increase sales. That's one example of it. Another example, of course, is direct marketing, otherwise known as spam, which is, I know, not very popular, but it continues and actually is the one area of our business that is shows steady growth. More and more companies are trying to market directly to existing customers or people who've subscribe to websites that deal with topics similar to their product address. So getting personalized messages out to them is one way the Internet's changing the way companies market themselves.
How about advertising? Do banner ads, do people still use banner ads, and do they work?
People still do use banner ads, but the response rate has always been horrifically low, and it's actually declining. I think that part of that is that the Internet is becoming a noisier environment. When banner ads were first invented, pages were a great deal less cluttered. But you go to a Yahoo now, which in its early days was a simple text-based portal without any images on it now. And now those places are awash with banner ads and images and flashing icons. So,
Dave, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
And we're going to take one last call from John in Scotts Valley. Hi, John. Welcome to GeekSpeak.
Thank you. First an observation, then a question. The observation is that you guys are probably from Santa Cruz. If you don't buy from Bookshop Santa Cruz, it'll go away. I mean, you're talking about buying from books on Amazon, and I do that too, but I buy from Bookshop Santa Cruz because I value it in our community.
You know, every book I don't buy at Amazon, I do go to look at Bookshop Santa Cruz. Or any book that I'm looking at Amazon, I go try to find it at my local bookstore first.
Terrific. My question is, for the gentleman who runs the web company, how are you managing now to stay in business, and how many employees do you now have?
Okay, I'm managing to stay in business by having as few employees as possible, frankly. So I tend to rely a great deal more on freelancers than I did in the past. At the moment, there are four of us working at Words and Images.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we're staying in business is, I never stopped being absolutely frenzied in my approach to new business. And there's been almost a 100% turnover in our client base in the last 18 months as different clients have either gone out of business or been purchased or cut back. The other thing is I pay very close attention to the clients I do have. It's very important that they're extremely satisfied with what we do because there are so many alternatives now. I was talking to a friend of mine who had another agency about some of the great employees we'd had in the past, and very many of them have left the industry, in fact. So the ones that haven't, obviously, are available as freelancers and are willing to work for not much. It's a great time to buy a website.
Do you have any hopes for an improvement in the situation in the reasonably soon future?
Well, I guess it depends. I, of course, I believe it's going to improve. I mean, I actually started my business in the last recession, so this isn't new. But I guess it depends what you mean by reasonably soon. I'd say within 2, maybe 3 years.
Thank you, John, for your call. We are running out of time on GeekSpeak. This program is supported by a grant from Seagate Technology. Seagate is a worldwide supplier of disk drives for PCs and servers and innovations for products like the Microsoft Xbox, digital video recorders, and digital jukeboxes. Information is at Seagate.com. You are listening to Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxell. With me in the air room has been Jasper Lawrence, owner-operator, commander, whatever, of Words and Images. You can find that company at wordsandimages.com, all one word, multiple three words put together. Also in the air room has been Sean Cleveland and John Tracy. Our producer is Maggie Cleveland, and also answering the phones was Maggie. Thank you for your participation in Geek Speak. And to those that called in, thank you very much for making Geek Speak what it is. Without you, it would just be a bunch of geeks talking, and who wants to listen to that? One thing you might want to listen to, though, coming up next, is Charlie Lang's Two Steps from the Blues, and they'll be in just a moment on Central Coast Public Radio Station, KUSP Santa Cruz, KBDH San Ardo. We're on the web at kusp.org, and before that lovely show, we have Stardate.
Stardate, January 20th. The dog star, Sirius, trots across the southern sky on winter nights. It's the brightest star in the entire night sky. Only the moon and a couple of planets regularly outshine.